Now today, friends, we begin in the 21st chapter of the book of Leviticus, and it extends on into the 22nd chapter. And if you are reading with us, and I trust that you read along as we go through the Word, it'll make it much more meaningful for you. Then, may I say, you probably noticed that this was a rather bleak section. And in many ways, it is, because there seems to be a certain amount of repetition here. We had in the last chapter that which was the penal code, but it had to do with the holiness of God's people, and it had to do with the people. Now we have here the law for the personal purity of the priests, and there is a certain amount of repetition. Now there are certain things that we need to note. First of all, that Israel had a priesthood. It was God's original intention that the entire nation should be a kingdom of priests. We saw that in the 19th chapter of Exodus, verses 5 and 6. But their disobedience in the matter of the golden calf destroyed that possibility of the realization of a perfect and ideal society. I suppose that in the millennium that the perfect society will be attained, and then the entire nation of Israel will be the priests here on the earth for the earthly people, the Gentile nations. You see, there will be, through the millennium and through eternity, actually three groups of the human family. One's the church with Christ and the New Jerusalem. The other is the nation Israel here on this earth. The third are the saved Gentiles. And you have these three companies at that particular time. We find, therefore, today that the church, we are called a royal priesthood. We are a priesthood. Every believer is a priest. I sometimes make this statement. I am a priest. I'm a Catholic priest, by the way, but not Roman Catholic priest. Catholic means general. Every believer is a priest and has access to the throne of grace today. Therefore, we need to note that there is an application of the last chapter and this section to our own hearts and to our own lives. Now, the rules here, the regulations, are for the tribe of Levi. And we find that God lifted this tribe up to this high position, and it was a holy place, and there was a certain responsibility and obligation that rested upon them as priests. The greater responsibility demanded a higher way of life. And that today is true of the believer. We are required to measure up, not just to the common ethics of the day expressed in the Ten Commandments, but we're required to live a holy life, which is possible only by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. We are told today, Peter in his first epistle, the 4th chapter, verse 8 says, "And above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love will cover the multitude of sins." Do you see that fervent love among believers? Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. And we are told today, again in 1 Peter the 2nd chapter, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And because of that, and even in the last chapter where we saw holiness among God's people, we're called as God's people today to a higher way of life. Notice what Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 17. "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard them, and have been taught of them, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now you see that the child of God today, saved by grace, has been called to a high place to live. A believer today, I think, ought to be very careful about accepting an office in the church. He should be able to measure up to that responsibility. I have very little patience today with men who will accept an office in a church, a deacon, for instance. And that man, after he becomes an officer, he says, well, I'm not able to come to midweek service, and I'm not able to come on Sunday night. Well, my brother, you ought not to accept the office. Responsibility, you see, comes through privilege. It's a privilege to serve the Lord in an office. And you've been elevated, all right? Live up to it. Or you're disgraced to the cause of Christ. And then what a picture that we have of our great high priest. And he measured up to his office. We have such a high priest. The writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews 7, 26, 28, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins, then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh a son who is consecrated forevermore. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is both priest and sacrifice, and this is the teaching of Hebrews. He offered himself.